Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 39. Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 39. As we kind of look back, Jesus had been speaking to a multitude, and now he's gotten into a little ship to take him across, or boat to take him across to the other side of the sea that they're on. And beginning in verse 36, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "So leaving the crowd behind, they took him just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. And a furious windstorm arose, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was close to being swamped. But he was in the stern on a cushion, asleep. They woke him and said to him, 'Rabbi, doesn't it matter to you that we're about to be killed?' He awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' The wind subsided, and there was a dead calm." Today's message is titled, "It's All in the Name." It's all in the name. Later on in that very same chapter, beginning with verse 38, of chapter 9, chapter 9, verse 38. "And John answered him, saying, 'Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed us not. And we forbade him because he followed not us.' But Jesus said, 'Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do miracles in my name that can speak evil of me.'" Now another translation says, "There is no man who does miracles in my name that can speak bad of me." We find here that this particular person that the disciples are referring to had apparently heard the message that Jesus preached, had believed and accepted the message that Jesus preached, and apparently an anointing came upon him, and he went about healing the sick, praying for them, coming up to them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Yeshua of Nazareth, "I cast this thing out of you." And miracles were taking place. Healings were happening. And the disciples, I guess, thought for a moment they had a lock on the whole thing, because, you know, they were right there with Jesus. They were right there with Yeshua. And, you know, if they're not here with us, then, you know, they can't be doing this. Don't do this now. But you know what? No matter where you are, no matter what the situation is, in the name of Jesus. And I have learned over the years that there are times in various parts of the world where the gospel has not been preached at that time. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with hearts of men and women. And the gospel was preached to them by the Holy Spirit. And they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they went out and in the name of Jesus began to preach the gospel. It's happened in a number of places in other countries where the gospel had not yet been heard, but oh, it was revealed. And in the name of Jesus, things begin to take place. You know, the disciples in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, this is just shortly after the day of Pentecost. This is just shortly after the birth of the church. This is just shortly after Peter had stood before that great multitude there and preached to them that this Jesus that you crucified is the Messiah. And going about their custom, and what a lot of Christians seem to forget today, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't run out and sign incorporation papers and say, now we're the church that follows Jesus Christ, and set up a whole new denomination and a whole new religion. In their mind, they were Jews who had simply accepted the Messiah and were following him. So the next day they go to temple. It was their custom to do so. And on the way there, the Bible tells us that they passed by this lame man. And most of us have heard this story time and time again. We're in chapter 3, verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Yeshua, rise up and walk. And that man jumped to his feet and began to run around and praise God and preaching. Oh, he was excited because what God had done in his life. I'll tell you, if you had been lame from birth, if you had never walked a day in your life, and somebody came along and they reached down and said, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Oh, and you got up and there was strength in your legs. Oh, you'd dance about a little bit too. You'd be excited. Oh, you'd be letting the world know what Jesus had just done for you. In Jesus' name, rise up and walk. In the name of Yeshua, rise up and walk. Well, guess what? You know, years ago, they used to say, in some of the Pentecostal spirit-filled churches, you know, you got to watch out for wildfire now. You know, wildfire, that's something that creeps in that's not really part of that regular anointing. You got to watch out for wildfire. And so other people come along and said, yeah, but there's always enough wet blankets around to put it out. Well, they had just had this great miracles take place. Peter had preached. 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They accepted him as Yeshua, the Messiah that they had been looking for. Now, this man, oh, that a lot of people knew, because he was there by the gate, beautiful, day after day after day after day, year after year. And he had been lame from his mother's womb. And they saw him now, oh, running around, praising God, walking, running, doing anything anybody else could do. But here come the wet blankets. Chapter 4. They call Peter on the carpet. All right, Peter. We saw and heard about what happened yesterday. How this guy who's been sitting out there begging alms for all these years. We heard how you reached out to him and said, I don't have anything, but what I do have is for his money. But what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And we want to know, by whose authority do you do this? By whose authority do you heal people? You better give us an answer, Peter. We're not going to put up with any nonsense here. And Peter, in chapter 4, verse 10, then let it be known to you, to all the people of Israel, that it is in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua from Nazareth, whom you executed on the stake as a criminal, but whom God has raised from the dead, and this man stands before you perfectly healed. It's in the name of that one you crucified. It's in the name of that one you hung on a cross. He's standing here today, before you, walking, running, praising God because of Yeshua the Messiah, the one you hung on the cross. Oh, but they still didn't like it. Still didn't like it. Peter and his disciples and the other disciples are warned not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus in verse 18. Peter, we're going to let you go, but don't you be speaking in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't you be healing people in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil's trying to fight this message today, but we're not going to let it happen in the name of Jesus. We come against this thing that's trying to happen with this microphone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Are we there? Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What did Peter reply to them when they stood there and they told him, you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore? You better listen to what he has to say here, because it's happening around the world today. There are preachers, men and women, that are in jail, in prisons today, because they preached in the name of Jesus. Here's what Peter had to say in verse 19. But Peter and John answered them and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He said, I'm going to do what's right in the sight of God. I'm not going to pay attention to what you have to say. I'm not going to listen to what man has to say. But if God said to do this, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to preach in the name of Jesus. Later on, oh, you find in that very same chapter that the church is praying for help. And verse 4, chapter 4, verses 29 and 31. So now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your slaves or your servants to speak your message with boldness. We need boldness today to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need boldness to go forth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have not experienced here in America, oh, what some of the other Christians in other parts of the world have experienced. But we need that boldness that some of them have had, that we'll be able to stand up. And when the world comes against us, when authority comes against us and says, you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, that we'll continue to preach what's right in the sight of God. And they're trying to do that here in America right now. They're trying to tell you where you can pray in the name of Jesus. They're trying to tell you where you can speak the name of Jesus. It's coming, folks. It goes on, verse 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and to do signs and miracles through the name of your holy servant Yeshua. And while they were still praying, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the rock HaKodesh, and they spoke God's word with boldness. We need that infilling. We need that baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life today, that the Holy Ghost will come upon us when we get into these situations and speak through us. Sometimes, oh, we don't always know the words to say. We don't always know what we need to speak. But the Holy Ghost can come upon us, and he puts the words in our mouth as we begin to speak forth and begin to speak the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible tells us, oh, that Paul got in a situation in chapter 16. This young lady who was by various spirits speaking out things, and she was making her masters a lot of money. Basically, today we'd call her a fortune teller. And she was making her masters a lot of money. And you know what? The devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows when Jesus is around. Oh, and Paul came into town preaching the gospel of Jesus. Oh, and the devil recognized this, and the spirits begin to cry out through her, these men are men of the Most High God. Oh, and Paul Paul, you know, a lot of preachers today like that. Somebody went ahead of them. Oh, here comes the man of the Most High God. Listen to what he has to say. And they'd come all puffed up right behind. Yeah, that's me she's talking about. Oh, Paul got tired of it. And he cast the spirit out of her that was doing this. And her masters, her bosses got upset because they just lost their gold mine. Verse 18, it says, and this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Oh, he could not stay in her when Paul told him in the name of Jesus to get out, to vacate the premises, to go other places. He had to come out. Oh, I tell you, but speaking in the name of Jesus is not something you take lightly. It's not something you do when you don't have Jesus living in you. Oh, because the Bible tells us in chapter 19, beginning with verse 13, and it says, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't know Jesus. They only knew Jesus that Paul preached about. And so they could only say, we adjure you, we cast you out by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Oh. And it says in verse 14, and there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, oh, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I don't recognize your authority. I don't recognize you trying to tell me to do anything. I don't have to listen to you. And it says, the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Basically, put it in today's language, that spirit came out of that man and he whipped them up good time. And they ran out of the place defeated. Why? Because they did not know Jesus in their hearts. So you can't run around not knowing Jesus in your heart, casting the devil out. You can only do it. Oh, you can only do it if you got Jesus living inside. You got to have him in there. Because it's not you that does it. It's Jesus that lives in you that does it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, it's a name that we got to be willing to die for. We just had this prayer request for this pastor in Iran that's facing a death sentence, possibly to be carried out maybe within hours or days. Been in prison since 2009 for preaching the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 21, verse 13, Paul says, Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, if we really got Jesus in our heart, we got to be willing to die for the name of Jesus. You know what? Back in New Testament times in the early church, there were a lot of people who had Jesus living in their heart that had to die for him. Because the enemy came against them, and he tried to kill as many of them off as he could. But the devil is a defeated foe. We got Jesus in here. Oh, he can take this body. He can kill this body. Oh, but then we go to be presence with Lord, because, oh, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be presence with God. He can't do nothing to us. He thinks he can, but he really can't. Hallelujah. And there are some people that are listening to me today may have acted contrary to the word of God, may have been contrary to the done things contrary to the things of God. You know, Paul, that great apostle, he wasn't always one of the good guys. Think about it. He wasn't always one of the good guys. He says in chapter 26 of Acts, verse 9, "And verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He was testifying here. He testifies before King Agrippa and he says, "You know what? I didn't always serve Jesus. In fact, I sought out to have every Christian I could lay my hands on thrown in prison. I sought out to have them killed. I sought out to do away with this doctrine of Jesus of Nazareth and Him being the Messiah. But now I stand before you and I'm willing to lay down my life for the name of Jesus." 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "And such as were some of you, but you are washed." Oh, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, we stand before Him. We ask Him into our hearts and we are sanctified. We are washed in His blood and that sin is wiped away and it's remembered against us no more because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible tells us in some of the previous verses there that he's talking to a group of people. And here's what he says about them. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, oh, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, but if you've been one of those, if you're doing that in your life right now, if you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you let Him come in and you let Him wipe away that sin, then you can have your part in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's in the name. It's in the name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And I want to read it here. It's familiar scripture, but I want to read it from the complete Jewish Bible. "And in honor of the name given, Yeshua, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge that Yeshua, the Messiah, is Adonai, to the glory of the God of the Father." Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, I tell you folks, one day that's going to happen, and it won't be too many, awfully many years away that that's going to happen. You say, why did you say so many years away? Because there's a few things that have to take place. But I'll tell you, when Jesus comes back and He makes that triumphant return and He sets His foot on the Mount of Olives, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6 spoke these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I really wanted to read this out of the complete Jewish Bible, but I don't do too that well with some of the Hebrew words, and you might not understand them. But oh, I tell you, it really strikes a chord there. The Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. In this church, as we close every service, we say these words, until next time, Shalom. Have peace until next time. What is shalom? It's a word that most people are familiar with. It means peace. It's a greeting that the Jewish people use with one another as well. They come and say shalom. There's another word that goes along that says peace be unto you. Shalom in the King James Bible is translated as peace 175 times. Well is 14 times. Peaceable 9 times. Welfare 5 times. And some various other things that it's translated as a few other times. You know, when Jesus spoke those words back in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, in the King James it says, "And peace be still," it would simply have been, "Shalom. Shalom, be still." And the wind ceased. In the complete Jewish Bible, it says, he spoke to the waves, "Quiet, be still." It's the same thing. Quiet, be still. And there was dead calm. In the Greek, the word that's translated peace in the King James comes from the Greek word siapaho, which means to hush properly, muteness, involuntary stillness, or inability to speak, and goes on with some other definitions that can be used to you. I want you to know when the trial comes into your life, we can speak peace to that trial. We can speak shalom to that trial. Why? When those storms are rage around you, we can call upon that one that dwells in our hearts, the Prince of Peace, and call shalom. We can speak shalom. Several years ago, there was a major fire in Southern California. It was in the San Bernardino Mountains. It came down the foothills, actually into the part of the city of San Bernardino. Other fires burning at the same time actually surrounded the housing or the subdivision where I had lived before we moved to Tennessee. And I have pictures of fire trucks that were sitting in front of the house I had owned, and just a block away the fires are burning. And I have a pastor friend who owned a home in San Bernardino, and the fire was coming down the mountain to his house. I had been to his house one time many years ago. A beautiful place, a beautiful part of San Bernardino, many trees, and so on. His wife emailed some pictures taking place during the fire. A picture of him standing out there facing the fire. And in the name of Jesus, speaking peace to that fire. Rebuking that fire. In the name of Jesus. And I want you to know, out of that whole area around where he lived, there was one house left standing. His house. The amount of damage to his house, he had a beautiful white carpet in his house. There was a burn mark, maybe about as big around as a nickel, possibly a quarter, where an ember had gotten into the house and burned that one little place on the carpet. And some might say, well, if God protect, why didn't he stop even that? I think it was a reminder of God's power, because that ember went out after it burnt that little spot. Spoke peace. Many times around here, and especially the last several months, we've had some storms come through, some that have done a lot of damage. And I know, just as one of them was hitting, that did some damage here in the city of Columbia, as a matter of fact, God impressed me to go up, and I went out onto our deck, and I looked at the storm clouds, and I uttered these words to the storm: "Peace, be still at my house." And I called off the names of each member of this congregation and said, "Let there be peace at their house. Let the storm not hurt them." And some of you remember that that particular storm, a tree fell at Brother Art's house, came down, just slid down the wall of the house. Didn't hurt it, because peace was there and God's protection was there. It's all in the name. I started reading a book this past week. It was written by Dr. Richard Tucker out in Stanton, California, written in 1995, and it has to do with the book of Revelation. But as he's starting off, he talks about speaking peace, or speaking in the name of Jesus. And I emailed him relating to what had happened here about the storm. And I said, I stood on the deck and I spoke to the storm, peace be still. And he emailed me back. He said, several years ago in our church, he said, there was a huge man came into the church, very large man. He came in, he was creating havoc in the church. And he come down and he was coming after me. And he said, I looked at him. I stretched out my hand and I said, peace be still. And he said, the man just crumbled right there on the floor. Peace be still. Why? Because we serve that name above all names. We serve Yeshua the Messiah. The Bible tells us he is the Prince of Peace. And we fight battles in our life every day. Some of it's financial, some of them it's health, various other things that take place. We fight those battles, but in the name of Jesus, we can have peace through the midst of our storm. We can have that peace. And oh, the battle may rage around us. And yeah, sometimes it may even take a chunk out of us. But we can still have peace in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. We sang that song earlier in the service today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Think about it. Approximately, give or take a few years, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, was born in a little town called Bethlehem. And 33 years later, he gave his life on a cross on Golgotha's hill that we could have forgiveness of our sins, that our debt could be paid. 3 days later, he arose out of the grave. And 40 days later, he ascended into the heavens where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Every kingdom, every king that existed at that time has passed away. And some of them we don't even remember now. Oh yeah, we remember the Romans. And we remember a few other, but a lot of those other kingdoms, we don't even remember. They've been forgotten about. But he's still king. He's still Savior. He's still Lord. He's still peace. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just ask you today, do you want to know peace? Do you want to have forgiveness? Do you want to know the Messiah? It's just as simple as simply crying out to him, Jesus, Jesus, come into my life today. Forgive me of my sin. wash it away with your blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Remember it against me no more. Become the Master, the Savior, the Prince of Peace in my life. In Jesus' name. And Father, right now I ask, Father, that you would speak peace to their hearts. And Fathers, some are asking right now, Father, for Jesus to come into their heart. I pray, Father, that they would be moved upon by the Holy Spirit, Father, and Father, that you'd pour out a special anointing upon their lives as they accept Jesus Christ into their life right now. And Father, I believe within my heart right now, Father, that somewhere this message is going to be preached over the internet, Father. And there are going to be people that are living in countries where it's dangerous to be a Christian. But they're going to ask Jesus into their life. They're going to ask him as the Messiah. And Father, you're going to give them peace as they stand up and face the opposition. I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.